From the heart of the Forest City, Blackburn Media presents the Craig Needles Podcast, looking at the biggest stories in London and around the world and how they impact you. Now here's your host, Craig Needles.
Yeah, it is another episode of the Craig Needles Podcast here on londonnewstoday.ca. You might have us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you have us. Thank you very much for listening. We hope you can subscribe and download all the episodes because we're talking about some important London stuff here on the Craig Needles Podcast. And I talked about it a little bit on Friday's podcast. What happened with the horrific crash at the corner of Riverside and Wonderland. And we're learning more about what happened there. We don't know enough yet to sit here and say, here's how we prevent this from happening in the future. We don't have that information. But what we can do, what we will do today on the podcast, is talk about getting around in this city when you are not someone who is behind the wheel of a car. And that's something I do every day. I walk to work. I've talked about that in the podcast before. And I think that's something we need to talk about a little more as far as keeping things safer for everybody. Not specifically because of what happened at Riverside and Wonderland, where Alexandra Stemp, an 8-year-old girl, was killed, and it just absolutely tragic. Some other members of her Girl Guide troop were hit. A parent was hit. A teenager was hit. They were all listed in good to fair condition in hospital the day after the crash. But there's going to be a lifetime, I think, for some of those kids of getting over what occurred. That's horrific. Let's talk about how we can make it better in general for pedestrians and non-drivers in this city. And to do that, I'm joined by someone who is also a regular pedestrian and or bus rider in the city of London. Cheryl Ruth is here in the studio with me at the Blackburn Media Studios. Cheryl, good morning. Thank you very much for doing this with us today.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah. So we've done radio and stuff a bunch of times. So now we're doing this medium, and that's going to be fun too, because there's a lot to talk about.
There is, definitely.
Let's begin with just a description. Like, so people know my walk to work is about a half hour. So I spend about an hour every weekday walking in this city, mostly downtown. You do a lot of walking, do a lot of bus riding in this city. How would you describe the experience of doing a lot of walking and or bus riding in this city?
It can be convenient, but it can also be very scary. Mm-hmm. And as a pedestrian, as our city grows, I see that getting more and more dangerous all the time. And you know, yesterday I was waiting. There was a police investigation down in Oxford. Mm-hmm. And I catched the bus at Oxford and Richmond to get to my job. And of course, the road was all blocked off and people were unaware. You know, maybe they weren't listening to the radio or getting the updates on that road closure. Mm-hmm. So people were coming down Oxford and they were at the light realizing, oh, okay, I can't go straight. So I'm going to have to turn left. So you'll have a huge lineup of cars turning left onto Richmond Street. Because there's no oncoming traffic, people just feel the need to go. Mm-hmm. So you have one car after another, bang, 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 not realizing that people also have the crosswalk sign, that they're trying to walk across the street and there are multiple cars coming at them on a wet, snowy, yeah, rainy kind of morning. And there's nowhere for you to go. When yep. you're a quarter of the way into the intersection, you don't have the opportunity to run back to the curb or run forward. And it's terrifying. I watched 7 people have their cars. I counted. After the first couple, I'm like, this is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. 7 people were startled in that crosswalk because someone was driving directly at them and then slamming on their brakes. That's crazy. And one of them had was a father carrying a man carrying a young child. Mm-hmm. That yeah. could have been equally as tragic just because the car in front yep. wasn't paying attention, and then the drivers behind were following that car ahead of them.
Yeah, it's true. And it's just a matter of, there's a couple of different things that come into play here. One, if you're driving a car, and this city is bad for it, just be more careful, please. Like, mm-hmm. just be a little bit more careful. But two, there are some issues, especially if we have a surprise closure, like the one you're mentioning for that police investigation on Monday morning. There are situations where I don't think our streets are well designed for that sort of thing. And there are different things that we could be doing to make them a little safer. Now, streets like Oxford and Richmond, there's always going to be a lot of traffic on there, of course. But I think streets that are kind of side streets, limits need to be lower. I think they need to be enforced. I'm someone who is in favor of photo radar. I think we need and more photo radar locations. I think we need stuff like that in order to keep people safer, in order to make it so we don't have, again, it's not going to be a situation where it applies necessarily to something at Oxford and Richmond, but fewer collisions with pedestrians, with cyclists in residential neighborhoods. Like, that's just, these are just some of the measures that I'm thinking about. But above all, I think just please be more careful when you're driving.
Careful for sure. I mean, that's a yeah. given, I think. And I've been thinking about this a lot since you asked me to do the show. And I'm thinking about what that looks like. And you'll never hear someone say, oh, I'm the worst driver.
No.
I am a terrible driver. I should not be on the road. No one ever admits to that. And, you know, maybe it isn't a case so much of people being terrible drivers. It's either you've been driving for so long, you're not aware of all of the new rules or expectations of the road, or just not being a thoughtful driver. And I don't mean thoughtful in the way, oh, I'm going to give you flowers because I'm so thoughtful. I mean thoughtful and mindful of your surroundings. You have so many distractions in a vehicle. You know, you have your phone, you have your Bluetooth connected, you have the radio on, you've got different things talking to you, and you've got video screen in there, and you've got children in the car, and there's so many different things that are taking your attention away from your surroundings, that this is where the problems happen, I think. And it doesn't take a lot to just turn a couple things off that you don't need.
Yeah, you know? the children in the car, sadly, they have to stay.
For sure.
Yeah, but you're right, though, that, you know, we can try to be in a situation where, hey, I'm going to wait until I'm stopped at a red light, and then I will grab the milk that you just threw on the floor and give it back to you, which I have done several times. Now, usually when I'm driving with my kids in the car, my wife is with me. So, you know, the person who is not driving is responsible for handling kids situations, but the point stands.
But there's small things, like, If you're in a vehicle and you're at an intersection and it's your turn to turn, maybe you're turning right, and there's people crossing the street with the light, don't inch your car into the intersection. Just don't do that. It's scary when you see a car coming at you. I don't care how fast you're going, or a truck or whatever it is. What other people may not know is those crosswalks are slippery. The white paint, when it's wet, is very slippery. There's been many times that I've almost gone down, and I have no mobility issues really at all. And, you know, I walk very gingerly across the street. So we're going to take our time. We're not going to be worried. We should not be worried about you inching your vehicle in so that you can save 3 seconds to get around the corner. Or in winter, when there are snowbanks that we have to climb over, right? You're inching your vehicle in, one topple backwards, I'm on the roof of your, or I'm on the hood of your car. These are little things that you can do as a driver that makes a difference to a pedestrian.
I think that's a fantastic point. I want to get back to snow clearing in just a second, but first, I'm going to tell a story. Not sure how good it makes me look, but I'm going to tell it anyway because I'm all about the truth on this podcast. Two Fridays ago, I was walking to work, as I often do, and I'm crossing the intersection of Rideout and Dundas. I'm crossing on Dundas. I'm crossing Rideout. A woman is going west. I'm going east. A guy turns his car and tries to go between us, the two of us, as we're both crossing with the light, onto Rideout from Dundas. Now, he realizes what he is doing. Stops, slams on his brakes right in between the two of us. Nearly hits both of us. The woman gestures towards the light and says that we have the right of way. I had not had a great morning. I had a bit of an incident, my daughter's school, whatever. We don't need to get into that. I had not had a great morning, so I was a little hot walking to work. I decided that I was going to open fist slap the person's hood and yell a few obscenities. Again, I'm not saying this makes me look good. I'm just telling you a story. As I look up and do this, I'm face to face with what has to be an old man he's got to be in his 80s, and he looks terrified. I'm going to rip the door off his car and beat him mercilessly. I did not do that. I want to be very clear. And after I did that, I just walked away and let the guy go. But, like, you know how to drive, please. Like, just know how to drive, and don't be in a situation where a pedestrian feels the need to slap the hood of your SUV and yell obscenities at you. Again, I'm not saying that's what I should have done or how I should have handled it. I was just angry in that particular moment. But know how to drive, please.
But I think that's accelerating, that reaction of pedestrians towards dangerous situations and drivers is happening more and more often. I've seen people throw water bottles at vehicles. I've seen people hit cars. Mm-hmm. There's been times myself when I've, really wanted to do some damage to someone's vehicle, but you have to weigh, now I'm standing in the middle of the street wanting to hit a vehicle, or do I get across the street before another car comes and tries to hit me? It's so frustrating. And I understand your anger, and I understand that fear. It's that what is it? Fight or flight.
And I'm almost always fight. So that's just how my brain is wired.
I was crossing Richmond at Oxford a few weeks ago, and I had a bag of groceries, and I just saw someone almost get hit because someone took the left turn in between that minor second between the light turn before the light turns green. But we had the walk signal, so he was walking. He almost got hit by a car. I start crossing. A person comes just to take a right turn. Didn't even see me. I don't know how. I'm 5'8", carrying grocery bag. Like, I'm not invisible. So close to me that my bags rested on his bumper. And then he looked at me and he was like, oh, I could see his face. Like, he had braces and, a young man in his 20s. And I threw my arms up. I'm like, dude, what are you doing? And I shook my head, and he's kind of all apologetic in his car, and that's all well and good. You got lucky that time. I got lucky that time.
Everybody got lucky, yeah.
I was just doing a quick scan of pedestrian collisions with vehicles. In November alone, three deaths.
Where are we talking about here? Is Canada?
Two in London.
Okay, yeah.
One in Stratford. And 1, 2, 3, 4, four plus five, about nine people.
Yeah.
That was just what was reported. That's not, things that don't get reported. I didn't report that man almost hitting me with his car.
Neither did I.
But those near misses matter, and those impact how you travel around your city if you're a pedestrian or if you're a cyclist too. It's the same thing. You stop going out quite as much. You kind of weigh, is it worth me going to the grocery store? If I have to cross two major intersections, can I just wait?
Yeah.
Right? That's not okay. That's you're limiting other people's lives because of the way you choose to drive your vehicle. And that's not to say pedestrians are
saints. No.
Oh, my
goodness.
And
I know that's not true. And I've seen some things, and I'm sure you've seen some things.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. There's been times I'm like, oh, my God, this is going to go over terribly. But we have to look at how we design the city. You're absolutely right. We have to look at how we cover off snow plowing and sidewalk clearance and creating spaces that are more accessible for everyone who wants to walk. That's I am gobsmacked at why there are neighborhoods that don't want sidewalks.
Yeah.
It blows my mind. Why do you not want a sidewalk? Mm-hmm. And it comes down to, no one wants it until they need it.
Yeah.
Right? But when you do need it, now that time has passed and
yeah. I will say, if the city knocks on someone's door and says, oh yeah, we want to put a sidewalk in your front yard, we're going to have to cut down this 45-year-old tree, I understand why someone says, I don't want you to do that. I understand that. But I was talking with Councillor Lewis, and he was in to do the podcast a few weeks ago. And he talked about a story where the city engineering staff went out and looked at a street because they wanted to put a sidewalk there and thought to themselves, hey, wait a minute, why don't we just narrow the street? We can save the trees, put a sidewalk here. Maybe people aren't going to drive as fast. Poof, everybody wins.
Exactly.
Like, why don't we do that more often? Like that's never ever going to work, obviously, on Oxford or on Richmond. There are already sidewalks there, though. Mm-hmm. But in these residential neighborhoods, yeah, maybe that's what we do. Like, maybe that's the way to solve this problem.
I think that's absolutely the way to go. And maybe you just put one sidewalk in. Maybe it's just on one side of the street. That's how it is on mine. And then we have curbs. But we lived in our house for at least 10 years with no sidewalks and no curbs. At the end of the school is at the end of our street. And, I remember when my kids were small, we would walk down Oxford Street. There was no curb. The sidewalks were all broken, or there was asphalt that had been laid over the bigger cracks. And it wasn't until a few years ago when a chunk of asphalt got loose and hit me in the head when a car drove by.
Jeez.
And, you know, so I reported it to the city. I'm like, this is, it's a dangerous situation. Not just because people are inches away from very fast traffic, but now the road's actually attacking us too. And Edward Soldo, thankfully, who is the transportation engineer, really put a priority on fixing that end of Oxford Street. And it's made a huge difference. We have curbs now. We don't have cars driving on the sidewalks. We don't have cars pulling onto the sidewalks because there were no curbs before. So it's those small things that make a huge difference to how people move around their community.
Yeah. And I think that those things need to be considered more. And I'm not going to say that city staff and members of council don't consider those things at all. I know they do. I've talked to them about some members of council about literally these exact things on this very platform. So I know they care about these things. I just think that the priority perhaps needs to be bumped up a little bit, perhaps is the way to phrase it. I want to ask you about snow clearing, too. I think that snow clearing on sidewalks is something that needs to be dramatically improved. It's not something that I really realized was as big a problem as it is until I had kids. And I don't have a stroller anymore because my kids are big enough they don't need one. But when I'm pushing a stroller through the slush and the snow on a sidewalk because it hasn't been plowed, that ain't fun.
No.
So other people who may have mobility issues or maybe trying to get through that in a wheelchair, whatever it happens to be, I understand that wouldn't be any fun. So I think that we've got to change what we do from a snow clearing perspective. I'm not saying don't plow the roads. I had a Twitter conversation about that this week. Ambulances and buses still need to get around. We've got to plow the roads. Fire trucks need to get around. My house is on fire. I want my road to be plowed. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I just do. I think that's fair. But there needs to be a priority, not a shifted priority, but a sort of a priority that is becomes more important when it comes to clearing those sidewalks. And I think that's something that the city really, really needs to handle.
I think, the city, you know, as a corporation, for sure.
Yeah.
But the city as a whole, every citizen in the city, if you have a sidewalk in front of your house, I think you have some responsibility.
I agree.
To shovel that off. You don't have to do the whole street.
Mm-hmm.
Do the five blocks of sidewalk that are in front of your house.
Yeah.
It makes a tremendous difference. Even if yours is the only five squares of sidewalk that are clear, I will promise you as a pedestrian, that is the happiest part of my walk.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to struggle to get where I need to go.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's something we all have to do. If that's part of living in a city is contributing to that. You know, we're picking up trash, we're cutting neighbors' lawns when they need help, we're doing all these different things to improve our city. This should be a no-brainer.
Yeah.
And if you are not physically able to do that, that's completely understandable, right? Or you're a senior citizen.
Ask someone who lives next door, hey, do you want to do my sidewalk too while you're out there? I don't think that's pretty reasonable.
Call your high school.
Yeah.
Call your local secondary school. Who needs volunteer hours?
Yeah. Come shovel my driveway whenever.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I couldn't agree more. It's just there are ways to figure it out is the moral of the story. And again, I'm not saying that everyone's going to be able to just shovel your own sidewalk. I understand that's not something that applies to everybody, but it applies to enough people, and there are ways to figure it out if you're not on that list. And yeah, I just look at the sidewalk situation. I just want the plows, and some communities have them, and they use them in some of the spots in the city. But let's just get right down to the pavement when we're doing the sidewalk, as opposed to just, we're just going to, do a quick little brush on the sidewalk, and, there's still a little bit of snow. And then that turns into slush, and then that turns into ice, and then all of a sudden the sidewalk's a skating rink.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just see if we can plow it a little closer to the pavement, please, would be my other request.
And I did ask that, too, of the city years ago. Before Sean Lewis was actually a counselor, and he was with Irene Matheson, we sat down together with Jeff Preston to talk about snow plow and snow clearing in the city and came up with some good ideas. And that was one of the key points was how close we get down to the pavement on a sidewalk. And it was I was told there was a skim level that you can't get the plow down too low because it hits, the different levels of the sidewalk or it rips up people's grass or whatever that is. So I understand that to a degree, but it's the waiting so long after the roads are clear. And again, I understand, if it's a heavy snowfall and the snow clear the roads, it's pushed onto the sidewalk.
Yep.
But we have to approach it a little bit differently. I think we can't be contracting out. Let's expand the city services. And I know that's a cost, but there's a cost to contracting as well.
Yeah.
And I think when we sold all of that snow equipment, that was our biggest downfall. But I think there's a way that we can get back. But again, we can't just expect the city to do everything.
Yep.
We simply can't. I think we have to, as a community, come together and contribute to that accessibility for all.
Yeah. And if someone came to me and said, okay, property taxes are going to go up $200 this year, but in exchange for that, that extra $200, we're going to have more snow clearing staff, and we're going to have more of these machines that can plow these sidewalks and get that done a little bit quicker, I'd be like, okay, I'm okay with spending that $200.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's something that's going to improve the lives of significant number of people in this city. So yeah, okay, mm-hmm. Let's do that. And I understand that, you know, people, oh, I'm getting nickel and dime to death over here, and there's only one taxpayer, and all the different phrases you use. And I understand the property tax is the crappiest form of tax we have. Do not dispute that for a second. I agree with you entirely. However, that's just the way the system is right now, and we're not going to be sit here and wait for the province and the feds to solve our snow clearing problem. That's not how this goes.
That will never happen.
Yeah. So this is the situation we wind up in. I want to ask you as well about, because we mentioned, hey, buses still got to get around, and ambulances and fire trucks still got to get around. Let's talk about buses and getting around the city via transit. You obviously have involvement with the LTC. How do you feel about where we are as a transit city right now compared to where we would have been 5-10 years ago?
Oh, well, I'd say we've made monumental progress. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got express routes, and we're eliminating the 60-minute transfer or connections and yep. headways, and you know, the team is constantly working on ways to improve within the budgets that we have, which are not vast, right? We have only so much money that we can spend, and definitely getting into those industrial areas so people can get to work. So those have been a focus for the last, well, since I've been on the commission, so the last seven years, and tremendous improvement. You know, what would take me an hour and a half now can take me 40 minutes, right? And that's with including a transfer. And a lot of different municipalities follow our lead in what we're doing, like the universal transfer. So you have 90 minutes. You can go any direction in the city. You can stop, do whatever you have to do, and then hop on another bus home. There's a lot of other cities that are picking this up now because it's more customer friendly. We're getting more shelters. We're getting more lighting. We've put air filters on all of the buses. And if that's not, that's still in progress. I think there's a few that still haven't been completed yet. But I would say every bus that I have been on in the last 3 weeks has had a UV air filter on it. So we're looking at that COVID approach too, how we can eliminate some of that fear and how we can keep a safer environment for not only our operators, but for our customers as well. And, you know, those are things that the LTC is not great about bragging about, right? They don't really throw up a lot of fanfare. Oh, look what we've done.
No.
And they just carry on. I can't say we because I'm the commissioner.
Right.
I'm not behind the scenes making these plans and trying to figure all these things out. I'm just the one that gets to say yes or no.
Right.
But I've seen tremendous improvement. The express routes alone to get from Masonville to White Oaks Mall in, you know, 20 to 25 minutes, that's brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
If you're working or you're going to school or whatever the reason it is that you have to get to one of those places, it just makes such a big difference in the time of day. And it's funny, I looked at my Google tracking the other day and it said in October I spent 32 hours on the bus. 32 hours.
It's a lot of time.
It is a lot of time.
Yeah.
But that's a lot of traveling for me around the city. That's to and from work every day.
Yeah.
And that's a 45-minute trip to get to work, 45 minutes home again, rush hour both times. But
I'd be curious to see how much time someone who's driving spends in a vehicle relative to how much time someone who's on the bus spends on the bus. I bet you the numbers are not entirily dissimilar, maybe a little bit more depending on where you're going on the bus and how many transfers you have to take or whatever it happens to be. But, you know, you say, oh, I spent 32 hours on the bus. How many people spend 32 hours in a car in London in October? Mm-hmm. I bet you a non-insignificant number.
Yeah, probably not. And it's not a perfect system.
Nope.
We will be the first people to say we have a long way to go, but as much improvement as can be done, we're doing it, especially in the time of COVID when operators were showing up for work and doing the best job that they possibly could, to having the free fares for so long that allowed people that opportunity to get to work or to get to medical appointments or to get where they had to go without having to worry. And, you know, I can't say enough good things. I think in the draft service plan that's coming up, there's some really exciting changes happening in there. And that will be on the LTC website and will be available for public input really soon. So that will include changing the Route 36, so it will access the new Amazon facility that's coming out in Northeast London. So that's going to be huge for people mm-hmm. that want to get to work or want to work for Amazon or want to work, you know, in that industrial area. And it will be capturing a few other key locations too, including the airport and that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's a big ship to have to turn around and you cannot change things really quickly. It takes a lot of input. It takes a lot of research and it takes a lot of money to make these things happen. And I'm always impressed with how fiscally responsible the LTC is with their money and the ability to do the things that we do because of that fiscal responsibility. So when the funding came from the government to improve transportation, we had the reserves that we were able to purchase new buses and we were able to put in for different enhancements because we had that money ready. We didn't have to wait, but we could go back to the government and say, okay, these are what we want to do. This is where we're going to start. Okay, sounds great. We were able to get the jump on other municipalities and purchase those buses because we didn't have to wait for that funding. Mm-hmm. But we were reimbursed for it, right? Which is fantastic. But it's those things that the public doesn't know mm-hmm. that I wish they did.
Well, we're doing our best
now. Yeah, I'm happy to be able to share that. And but I've been, you know, I've had missed buses and I know what it's like to wait for a long transfer and you know, when you don't feel safe at a stop and all of mm-hmm. those things. I completely understand. And those are things that we're always working on. And the feedback that we get from the public really does matter. And
what's the number one thing people say to you when they say, hey, you know what? I wish this was better about the LTC system. What's the thing that you hear the most often, do you think?
Transfers. I wish I didn't have to wait so long between a transfer. That's okay. Probably the number one yep. thing.
So as in, I get off this bus here and I need to get on that bus there. Mm-hmm. I wish that the second bus came quicker.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And that's my complaint too.
No, okay.
Right? Right. You know, if I miss the 6, I have to wait a half an hour to take another one. Or I can take a Wellington and you know, maybe have an extra 10 or 15 minute walk. But again, I don't have a mobility issue. Mm-hmm. So a 10 or 15 minute walk is fine for me.
Right.
But for someone else, that could be a game changer. So now they're waiting for a half an hour. But we're trying, you know, always to reduce those headways wherever we possibly can. And, you know, we're seeing our passenger levels increase now with restrictions are lowering. So, you know, we're getting back into the swing of things and we're hiring new operators. We have a lot that have retired or chosen to retire through COVID and due to limitations with COVID, right? You can only train so many people at a time mm-hmm. in so much space.
Of course.
And but we're constantly hiring new people and you can see we have so many new faces on transit now and so much diversity and so many more young women, which is really exciting to see.
Okay, good.
And
well, they're good jobs, you know, like it's
yes. And that's what I was going to say is we talk a lot about how those old jobs that you had for your entire life are gone, mm-hmm. right? You work at one company, you get the nice pension and like your dad and your grandpa.
Yeah.
For our generation, and I think you're a little younger than me, we don't see that so much. But if you mm-hmm. look at transit, that's one of those jobs. That's one of those golden ticket jobs where you can do that job for 20, 30 years and retire and have benefits and have a good salary and, you know, be able to stay in your city.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
and it's one of those ones where the future of the industry is not really in doubt. Like, there's always going to be the bus.
There will always
be
transit.
You know, that's never going to not be a thing.
Yeah. 125 years and counting, I think, in London. It's not going anywhere. People will always need public transit. And as we enhance that system with rapid transit, we're going to need even more operators. And you know, you don't have to know how to drive a bus. They will teach you how to drive the bus.
Right.
You have to come in with some good customer service and a positive attitude and learn from there. So there's a huge opportunity for people if they want to become a transit operator and have a good job until they retire.
Yeah. Well, there you go. There's that to consider. Last thing I want to get to before we wrap up here, sort of bring it back full circle. I'm telling people, hey, you've got to drive better. And that's, of course, not everybody, but there's enough people that I think it's a worthy public message. But at the same time, I don't want this to come off as, like you said earlier, all drivers are bad and all pedestrians are good, because that's far from the case. And I just don't want this to come off as, hey, everyone should just walk everywhere they go and no one should drive, because I know that's not realistic.
No, it's not realistic.
That's not the way this is going to go. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, just have some courtesy for the people around you, I think, is the message I want to leave us on.
Well, I think for everyone, have some common sense.
Yeah.
Which just seems so rare. But
common,
you know,
sense, not that common.
I took a lot of heat on Twitter once when they put the islands in on King Street, the transit island. I noticed people, they would start walking across King and then walk directly to the island instead of just continuously walking across King, walking up the sidewalk, and then using the cross to the island. Not looking, not paying attention to anything that's coming down King Street. And, you know, and I said something on Twitter to the effect of, if you're not following the rules of the road, you're going to get what's coming to you. If you get hit by a car because you didn't look and you walked right in front of the path of that car and they have no opportunity to stop, that's on you.
Right.
I took a lot of heat for that. It was, you know, well, the city just designs things poorly. Okay,
both things can be true.
Yes, but yeah. When there's two giant white lines directing you where to stay and where to go to a safe, relatively safe spot, that's your responsibility to do that. It's not the person in the vehicle behind you, right, to ensure that you're walking across the crosswalk properly. And, you know, it does come down to, you know, design, and people will always take the easiest road and the easiest route. And whether you're a pedestrian, a cyclist, or a driver.
Yeah.
But you still have to be thoughtful thinking about other people.
And that's what I say about those discussions all the time, is when people say, oh, this is about road design. And yeah, that can be part of the conversation. But some of the conversation can be, this person made a jerk move while driving a car.
Mm-hmm.
Or sometimes it's, this person jumped out in front of a car because they were crossing the street, they were hustling, whatever, didn't look both ways and didn't see a car coming. There's nothing the driver could do. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's that too.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's like, you know, so we can talk about design and that's fine. But sometimes, no matter what the level of design is, user error is part of it.
Mm-hmm.
So there's try to have less user error, I suppose, is what I can say to the vast majority of people listening to this podcast. If you're on council, if you're in the city's planning department or engineering department, I should say, yeah, maybe the design part is more for you. But for most of us, it's just try to be a little bit smarter sometimes.
Be aware of your surroundings.
Yeah, exactly.
And believe me,
especially if you're driving a vehicle that weighs thousands of pounds.
Exactly. And if you're a pedestrian, pedestrians are very aware of their surroundings.
Mm-hmm.
We would have hits daily.
Yeah.
Right. But instead we have near misses, which is not good enough, but it's better than the alternative. So don't just assume a pedestrian isn't paying attention.
I agree with that entirely. I will leave with two hot takes that'll get your reaction to. Hot take number one, I don't think that we should have a situation where you can test and get your full G driver's license at 17 or 18 or whatever, and then you're good till you're 80. I don't think we need to do. I think we need to have more driving tests.
I think there should be one at least every 5 years.
Yeah, I agree with that entirely. You have to renew your license every 5 years. Let's just make sure you're doing the right things on the road every 5 years. I know that's going to cost a little bit of money, but that's what I think we should do.
That's a privilege of driving, though.
Yeah, exactly.
You're paying for insurance. You're paying for plates. You're paying for your license.
Yeah.
What's another $100 to ensure you're being as safe as possible on the road?
I agree. And you have to do it less often than there is the Summer Olympics. So, you know, that's, you know what I mean? Like, you know, that's not so bad. Two, I think that if you are wanting to drive a vehicle that weighs over a certain weight, and there should be a graduated license system. Right now, you can't drive a semi-truck without a certain type of license. You can't drive a motorcycle without a certain type of license. I think if the vehicle is over a certain weight and you're owning that vehicle, you should have a certain type of license in order to own that vehicle. Because sometimes we see these giant SUVs or these giant pickup trucks that are driven by someone who is perhaps not able to drive a vehicle of that size and took their driver's license test in a nice two-door sedan.
Mm-hmm.
I think there should be a test to say, oh, you think you want to drive a big giant truck on city streets? That's cool. You have to prove to us that you can do it well.
I think that's very reasonable, and an employer would expect the same.
Yeah. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think that's, and here's the thing. People say, oh, I like driving my truck. Yeah, that's cool.
Fantastic.
Drive your truck, but you're going to have to take an extra test in order to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to need a, you know, we have the G1 General, we have M1 motorcycle or M2. You're going to need a T2. I don't know what, call it whatever you want, but you're going to need just something to say, oh yeah, I can drive a vehicle of this weight. Because I think that you're going to see some people opting out of driving vehicles of that weight because they don't want to take that test. So the people mm-hmm. who need it will do it. And the people who don't, they might drive something else.
I think that's a very reasonable response.
See, I should be in charge. That's how this podcast always ends, with me coming up with ideas that are better than the people who are actually, you know, paid to come up with these ideas. Cheryl, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it was a fun conversation and an important conversation. I hope people that both on the driving side, the pedestrian side, the cycling side, all the different sides of getting around to London can listen to this. The Craig Needles podcast is available on londonnewstoday.ca. You can find us at classicrock981.com on the website there, plus of course Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, anywhere you get your podcasts, you're going to be able to find the Craig Needles podcast. Thank you for listening to this episode. We'll be back with a new one on Friday.
The Craig Needles Podcast is a presentation of Blackburn Media.